Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from witchschool.com. Are you looking for the best in pagan and magical education? With more than 12,000 pages, witchschool.com is like having your own personal library with individual learning assistants to help you study. And Witchschool's anyone, anytime, anywhere education system is available any place on earth, anywhere you are and anytime you want it, as long as you have an internet connection. Witchschool's lifetime memberships are a great value. They really do last a lifetime. They've been there for years, and they'll be there for years to come. So get your membership today at witchschool.com.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.
Thank you for tuning in to Walking the Unnamed Path. I am Matthew Sidney, an initiate of the Unnamed Path. I'm a writer, public speaker, musician, poet, and spiritual seeker. And for those of us who are new to this show, we explore aspects of the Unnamed Path, which is a spiritual path for men who love men. And in other words, we can interpret that to mean gay men, bisexual men, men who resonate with that unique frequency, that unique capacity to love that men who love men share. And the Unnamed Path, as you've mentioned previously, involves magic and prophecy, energy healing, death walking, and shamanic practice. Today is part three of a four-part series of episodes where we are touching on each one of the four deities of the Unnamed Path. And in our tradition, we honor the dark god, the light god, the dark goddess, and the light goddess. And today, we're going to be learning a little bit more about the light god. And joining us to chat with us today is a brother initiate and dear friend of mine who actually was initiated with me, Paul Law. Paul, you are live on the air, and can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay, good.
Am I coming through okay? So, can you hear me now?
Yeah. Stand over there. No, try over there. So, Paul, we want to get to know you a little bit better, and before that, I do want to let our listeners know Michael Graywolf is at Pagan Spirit Gathering this weekend, and that's why he's unable to join us, but I'm very excited for when he comes back, because I'll be asking a lot of questions about his experience and how it went. But I do know that he's with us in spirit today, and I hope he's having a fabulous weekend. Paul, how did you first find out about the Unnamed Path?
Oh, goodness. How did I first find out? Well, it definitely was through the podcast. Well, actually, I think it was, how did I find it? Someone mentioned it, probably on Facebook or something. And at that point in time, we were using Yahoo Groups a lot. And I think that's pretty much defunct as far as our use of it. But I looked them up and then found out there was a podcast, started listening to the podcast. Then life sent me in a slightly different direction, and then eventually I came back around, and I happened to see that some people were offering classes. And it was something that I had been interested in, and I talked to David Shorey, and started on my path to becoming an initiate, and I was initiated, as a matter of fact, a year ago, along with you.
Yes, I was going to say, I remember that. I was there. Yeah, I think...
And how hot was it? Oh, my gosh. It was so hot. It was like they were having record heat that weekend.
Yeah, it was... And I'm from the Southeast, so I'm used to a very humid, wet heat. And I had never experienced that dry desert heat before. And everyone had always told me, oh, the dry heat is so much better. You hardly feel it. Man, let me tell you, I felt like I was in a convection oven. I was.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, take me back to the swamps, because it was just so overpowering. I felt like I was being cooked alive. But it was a beautiful experience.
Yes.
And yeah, so we're both a year old in this tradition now. So that's very exciting.
Oh, yes, it's time to take my pacifier away. And so I need to start talking, huh? I need to learn how to say dada or something. Or not the mama, not the mama. But that's probably before your time. I'm probably one of the older brothers, even though I'm one of the new brothers. I'm one of the older brothers because I'm in my mid-50s. So
okay,
I came into paganism rather late.
And then
there.
Okay. No, I'm shifting gears, because actually what you said reminded me, I think some of our listeners might be curious, do you want to tell us a little bit about what your journey was like before you discovered Unnamed Path?
Oh, my goodness. In my teens and 20s, I was... Well, especially in my early 20s, I was actually a candidate for ministry in the Cumberland Presbyterian Church, which is a small denomination. And then after I came out, I became involved with Universal Fellowship of Metropolitan Community Churches and was involved with their churches in Nashville, Tennessee, and then Charleston, South Carolina, and was a deacon in both of those churches. And then when I moved to Chicago in 80, no, what was it, 98, there was a Catholic parish in the what we call the Boys Town section of Chicago, and it was a very welcoming and accepting parish, and so I started becoming interested in that. And I remember even telling someone at the time, I was like, they're doing magic. They're doing magic up there.
Oh yeah.
I didn't know how prophetic that was. But then I started thinking about going into a religious order. I was actually thinking about, and I was actually very close to going into the Discalced Carmelites, because I tend to be much more contemplative. I enjoy meditation and just being quiet. Some people will go, yeah, right. Can't keep his mouth shut. But I do. And then I realized, that wasn't going to work for me, because the celibacy thing, I fell in love with someone, and I said, yeah, that's not going to work. And so I kind of fell away from that, moved out of Boys Town, realized that it that had been a unique parish, and most of the parishes weren't as welcoming, and so I kind of fell away from that. And then I moved out of the Chicago proper, and I really found that I was really drawn to gardening and felt my connection to the land. And then when I started my relationship with my husband Chris, he introduced me to paganism, and I took off. I just took and ran. I think he was a little surprised. Because it just all made sense to me all of a sudden. I've been doing this energy stuff for a long time, and it felt like I could never talk to anyone about it. So then I found out about the Unnamed Path, and it resonated so well with me because I had felt a little bit like, in most of the neo-pagan circles, it's very much a male-female dichotomy, and it wasn't working for me. And with the Unnamed Path, it works. It works for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we have the light goddess and the dark goddess, but it's not, they're not consorts of the gods.
Right. It's not, ours is not a, to use a one of those newfangled terms, a heteronormative tradition. Paul, if you can hold that thought, we do have a caller that I want to bring on.
Okay.
And caller, you are live on Walking the Unnamed Path. Can you tell us your name?
Hi, Matthew. Hi, Paul. This is Walter.
Well, hello, Walter. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, hello.
So as you know, you're probably listening, Paul was telling us a little bit about his background, how he discovered paganism and mystical traditions and leading up to his discovery of the Unnamed Path. And that leads us to today's topic, which is the light god of the Unnamed Path. And for those of our listeners who might be new to the Unnamed Path, we work with the light god and the dark god, and in our tradition, they are lovers. They are partners. They complement each other, and they can also be regarded as aspects of one spiritual force who resonates with us as men who love men and resonates with and empowers us by our unique capacity to love as men who love men. And for those of you who may have already listened to some of Hyperion's podcasts on the subject, the light god is associated with reason, with the upper world, with spirit guides and things that are lofty and celestial and compassion and nobility and of course, prophecy and magic and enlightenment. The dark god, by contrast, is associated with our passions and our animal urges and our instincts and all of that juicy, hairy, sweaty, delicious richness in life. And in our tradition, as those of us who pursue apprenticeship leading up to our initiation, we are identified as a child of one of the four deities. Paul, tell us, who is your patron or matron deity, and how did you come to that realization?
I am a child of the light god. And I came to that when very early on in studying in my initiatory classes, I remember when we did some work on the Like God, and the Like God made it very clear I was his. And I remember David checking in with me periodically and asking, now you're still sure, you're still sure. And it just resonated with me. I was kind of surprised at first because I didn't think that that was who it was going to be. But it makes sense now. I find that in my energy work, especially, which is more, it's sort of a magical practice. It makes very much sense. And in my ability to sense the web of fate, and see the directions that things can go, that makes sense from the prophecy standpoint.
Okay, that makes sense to me. Walter, do you have any at this juncture? Do you have any questions for Paul?
No, basically you guys are covering this, and I'm just joining in to find out more and listen to what you guys have to say. And later on, when you take questions, I may ask a question or two. But so far, you guys are doing great.
Okay, cool. Well, if something, you know, something moves you, definitely don't feel shy. You know, it's even okay to interrupt or to fill in those pregnant silences.
You don't want to say those things to me because you know I will. But
Walter, you know we love you.
Well, yes.
I'm assuming from the voice that I'm hearing, it sounds like the Walter that I know.
It is.
That's who I thought it was. Walter. Walter is currently going through classes, so I don't know if he's figured out who his patron or matron is yet, but. He's definitely got a very keen insight to some things, and I really value his insights.
Oh, yeah, Walter's definitely a natural.
Most definitely.
So, Paul, I'm going to put you back on the spotlight again.
Okay.
So you were initiated. You were initiated a year ago as a child of the Light God. Has your understanding of the Light God or your relationship with him, has that evolved or changed in any way over the past year?
It's definitely deepened. I've learn to as I become more aware of the web of fate, and I probably should explain that the web of fate is basically all the various and I know Hyperion talks about this in his podcast. It's basically all the potential pathways that you could go on if you're making a decision or if you're embarking on any point of action, and being able to see those and go, okay, if you do this, you're going to wind up going down this. The web of fate is all those various pathways, and actually being able to see those and understand them it takes a lot of work. I can do it more easily for myself than I can for other people. I think it's because I'm more attuned to my own energy. But I think the light God, because he is master of that that realm of prophecy and the web of fate, he's helping me to be able to give people better guidance about how their various decisions and thought processes might affect their traversing of the web of fate for themselves. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so two things that come to my mind. What you're describing to me sounds almost like the scientific theory of parallel universes. You know, there's do I take this job opportunity or do I stay here? And so then there's actually two different versions of me. There's one that, you know, takes this other opportunity, and then one that's following this other path. And then also it almost seems like you're talking about divination, because to me divination feels like I'm using a telescope to explore these parallel universes so that I or the querent can use that information to choose the one that's going to best serve us. Is that, am I way off, or does that make sense?
That's definitely another way of looking at it. And I know you and I have had a lot of these discussions. For me, it's more about seeing yourself at any point in time as any step forward is a step onto a pathway. And everywhere, and like you said, each of those takes you down a road that's someone else in a different parallel universe may have taken a different turn. So for me, it's pathways, but I think for you, especially since you're more light goddess, you probably see the multiverse much more than I do. I think that's part of, and the more I've thought about it, and the light God is very intellectual, so I will sometimes get way up in my head and need to be brought down to reality. But the light God mediates between potential and manifestation, and because he stands there at that point of creation between those two, he stands there at all the different paths, all the different branches that you can go off onto, and being able to understand, okay, if I do this, this is what's going to happen, trying to make the best decisions. I mean, we all do this to some extent, but being able to look further along, it's almost like a chess game, if you want to think about it. Thinking, you know, understanding, you know, 20 moves ahead. But
yes,
being able
yes,
to actually
yeah.
look down any given pathway and go, this, if I do this, this is what's going to happen. And I'm going to wind up over here, where if I do choice B, I'm going to go in a different direction. I'm going to go over here. And, of course, there's going to be other branches off of that. But, I mean, the second you move off of now to a new now, you have more choices. So the web is infinite. And we can get way out there, and I'll probably need to get called back to down to Earth if I get too far out there.
Well, you know, there's a team of brothers. I put out you know, I put out a call. There's a team of brothers that if we get two celestial and two out there in our conversation, they're there to help reel us back down to earth.
Yes. Yes. You and I think we did this intentionally at times. When we were going through our classes, we just about drove our teacher crazy because we would get way out there in some thoughts. We were a little mischievous, but yeah.
Well, so one thing that I wanted to speak to, and this is from my experience with the light god, and in our work, we, you know, even though I'm a child of the light goddess, I have strong relationships with all of the unnamed path deities, and I do devotionals to all four of them, and path workings and journeys to all four of them to interact with them. And interestingly enough, the light god, in many ways, seems to be, in my experience, one of the ones who's most concerned with personal development, personal issues. I find that he's the one that'll metaphorically put an arm over my shoulder and say, oh, okay, yeah, you're wrestling with this situation, and here, let's try to look at it this way. And it's very helpful. Almost like having a really effective therapist. And, you know, I don't know if that just has to do with my own relationship with him or if that speaks to his character, so to speak, and his perspective in his sphere of influence.
I would say that you're pretty spot on. And I think part of that is because he has that perspective of, hey, this is where you're at. This is what you're thinking about. Here's your, you know, other things you're thinking about. It's almost like sitting with a therapist at times. You know, they don't actually tell you the right way to go or the right thing to do, but they'll ask you all the right questions, and he's good about that.
Yes. 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 Or sometimes just knocking some of the dust out of my mind so I can, oh, now I can see through that window more clearly.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, because a lot of times we're like, either too worried about what's, and this is common for everyone, we're either too caught up in something that's happened in our past, or we're looking way too far out in the future, and we're not considering where we are right now. And I think that's one of the things that he helps me with, is that even though he can help me see what the future is, I've got to start from now. And what I'm learning is that even starting from now means that I understand then all the other directions that I can go, those are just other nows. Because once I get there, I have to make more decisions. There's always choices. And so
yeah,
staying in this moment, this now, you know, I know I'll get way out there and cosmic. I like to think of time as being an understanding of not past and future and present, but as being a changing sequences of nows. NOWS. And, you know, for us, we can't physically, at least at this point in time, project forward or backward physically, but we can do a better job of understanding where we've come from while staying grounded in this moment, and then also make better decisions about moving forward. And I think that's one of the things he helps with a lot, is understanding what we're doing helps us to move forward. And that's a lot to do with that divination, that prophecy. I remember my late partner, Buddy, I had a moment of prophecy with him about 2 months before he passed away. His parents were trying to encourage him to come back to his hometown to live with them. And I said, and this was in Charleston, and I said to him, I said, if you stay here, you will die. And 2 months later, he was dead.
Wow.
And that didn't come out of me. Yeah. That was something else speaking through me. And
right.
I can't let go of that.
So that leads me to another question. Do you feel like the Light God has been with you or a part of your life since before you discovered Unnamed Path?
I think very much so. I think very much so. And I think that's why he identified to me very early on that, hey, you're mine.
Yeah.
I think, especially for those people who have a bent toward or have backgrounds in the Judeo-Christian people of the book cultural aspects, he probably is the one that will seem the most familiar because he's, up there in the upper world. He's doing the creation. He's involved in prophecy, and you have all the prophets in the Bible and such as that. And
right.
I think for me, although I didn't know it, he's always been there for me.
Yeah, and sometimes, he's been described as the great architect of the universe, which is also an epithet of the Judeo-Christian deity as well.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, so they share some of that commonality. And it's understandable, I think, that some people who may have grown up having a bad experience with Christianity or Judaism or Islam might feel a little ill at ease with that commonality. And I think for me in my journey, that was very much the case. I turned away from Christianity when I was 12, 10, 11. And I mean, I just wanted nothing to do with anything remotely Christian because I had just had this huge resentment and I was carrying all this pain and confusion, and really dug deep into Wicca and Hinduism and other completely different, completely non-Christian traditions. And then fortunately, I had, I reached a phase where I was able to forgive the perpetrators of that trauma, and I was able to, now I can have the baby and just throw out the bathwater and appreciate the baby. Nowadays, I'm much more comfortable with Christian imagery, and I fully embrace, actually, now my Catholic heritage and Catholic imagery as a part of my ancestral practice as part of my spiritual practice. And I think in the pagan world, the dark god is very easy for a lot of folks to connect with because he's very reminiscent of various horned deities and has many similarities to the black man at the crossroads, the horned god, Kerenunos, Pan. He's relatable on that level, whereas we, most modern paganism, there's not as much emphasis on more celestial aspects, the Apollos, the magus, the great wizards, the holy child, and those kinds of archetypes, which are a part of our mystic heritage, but one that I think in many modern pagan traditions kind of gets pushed to the background.
Right. Right. Yeah, and I think a lot of it does have to do with, especially in, for many of us who come from a damaged Christian relationship, we have a tendency to go the opposite direction and try to find something that's totally not. And one of the things that I find with the light god while he is, there are aspects of him that are like the Christian god, there's not that distorted, coercive, you know, love me or you'll burn type of thing. There's
Right. Nothing
along those lines. You know, it's, I'm here for you. You know, I'm all about creating things. And I think that's one of the things that surprised me most with him is knowing that he's involved with creation, and I don't always feel myself being that creative, and learning how I'm more creative than I think I am, and I'm still trying to understand that, that I do things in a more mental fashion than a more heart-centered fashion from a creative standpoint. Although I'm starting to get a little bit more, I think, heart-centered with some of my creativity. That's just a matter of being able to balance things a little bit better. But I just, the light god is, yeah, he's very much more reachable than the light goddess. She's very ethereal and very out there. And anytime I do devotions and journeys, and especially journeys and path workings with her, I come back feeling like I smoked helium or something. It's like my head's way up there in the clouds or something. It's like, whoa, what the heck? And so, you know, the light god is much more relatable for me, and I know for some people he would not be, because he is much more intellectual, and you know, they're much more fire good, food hot, or fire hot, food good, you know.
Yeah, something like that.
We have some brothers that will say that, especially when some of us upper world children start mouthing off and getting very, very up there in the celestial whatever, they'll go, oh my goodness, fire hot, food good. Bring it down, please. Get back in your body, please. And I think for me, the light god has helped me be a little bit better about that, because even though he's much more intellectual, he's still relatable, and he's involved with that creative element of moving things from the potential to the manifestation. And I may be sounding a little high level there. With the we talk about that. That's one of the elements of the crossroads in the unnamed path is things. One of the crossroads is the paradox between the potential and all that is manifest. And for me, the light God stands at that crossroads, there in the center, and manages that that relationship. And I've always had
That's very interesting, yeah.
I've always had this strange pondering about the infinitesimal potential and the infinite manifestation, and trying to understand that, and it helps me now, being a child of the light God, it makes more sense to me now.
Right.
I can't cram it all in my head. There's only a limited amount of space here in this cranium.
Yeah, well, it's almost, it makes sense because, we're taught in our tradition that, to put it very, very simply, the dark goddess represents potential and the unmanifest potential, and the light goddess represents the complete totality of manifestation. And what I'm getting from what you're saying is the light God helps navigate that process and acts as almost like a bridge between those two extremes.
Correct. He mediates those two extremes, and which makes sense.
Right, that's what a creator does. That's what a magician does. He pulls something out of potential and brings it into manifestation. So that's
precisely,
yeah, what he's all about.
Yes.
So there are, of course, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. What were you going to say?
No, that's fine. No, I was going to ask if we'd left Walter behind.
Walter, are you okay?
I'm just listening to you guys. No, I'm fine. I'm listening to you guys comparing notes, and a lot of what you're saying rings very true to me. I have a very close affinity to the light God. In fact, I believe that I am a child of the light God, and it was something that I couldn't struggle with too long because it came across really loud and clear to me. And then kind of like, well, no, maybe I'm a child of the dark goddess. And he'd be like rolling his eyes, no, come back to the fold. So your experiences and some of the, some of the things that you're talking about are very familiar to me. My experience has been a little bit more pragmatic, only because I'm new to the unnamed path, and I'm still halfway through the initiation class. But everything that you guys are talking about rings very true to me, and the journey work that I've done to meet and ask questions from the light God have all been very direct, very open. I think of him, like you said, Matthew, like a magician, but more like one of the experiences that I have was like going into a workshop and finding this guy here. And every time I asked questions, he was like, great, that's a great question. Let's find out together. It's not one where I was told what to do and not to question. It was more of a team effort where he is just as curious about what I'm doing and I want to find out as much as he is. It's kind of like a team effort. In divination, it's always, you know, best possible advice instead of do this, do this, do that. Or it's always been, there's always been a question after the question. It's never a set in stone process, which is very different from the Christian gods or the Judeo-Christian god or some of the other spiritual gods that you find out there. There's no thou shall not with the light god. For me, it's more like thou shall find out with me together.
Yeah, it's almost like you know, God of the big G, our Lord in heaven, stayed on his meds.
No, precisely. It's a completely different relationship, and it's more dynamic. It's more creative, and nothing is really carved and set in stone because everything is evolving, everything is changing, everything is always becoming. So with the light god, you always get a sense of potential possibility that realizes your whatever it is that you want to manifest.
Right. That's definitely been my experience with him. There's never been anything authoritarian. It's always been very nurturing and okay, let's work together to empower you and tool you up to, you know, really manifest that which is going to best serve you.
There's also the sensual aspect to him that I hope you guys also talk about, because the light god and the dark god are one and the same. They're just two different aspects. And I was joking with you the other day telling you, you know, oh, my God, yeah, I'm like, you know, great ideas, but, you know, I also feel so dirty at the same time. Which is,
yeah,
you know, the lusty side of the light god coming out at the same time, because, again, two faces of one coin or two sides of the coin, and then you have the combination of the two. They are consorts. So it's not so much also, I mean, there's also the high-minded and all the intellectual and all the, you know, thought process, but I find that in the process of creation, there's a lot of sensuality involved. There's a lot of lust involved. And even when I'm creating, there's a certain part of me that feels a very sexual current flowing through. And that's the dynamic between the light and the dark gods.
Yeah, I do find the light god to be very sensual also, and certainly very sex positive. And that leads me to another aspect of this. There is a similar light god, dark god dualism in other traditions. For example, in some Hellenic traditions, they look at a contrast between Apollo and Dionysus. And in Slavic traditions, you have Zelos, the thunder god, and Pierun, the thunder god, and Veles, the lord of the underworld. And, of course, in Wicca, you have the Oak King and the Holly King. And in many traditions, these are often defined as adversarial relationships, whereas in our tradition, of course, they are lovers, they are partners, they're very much on the same page. What do you guys think that we have to learn, that we get to learn from the relationship between the light god and the dark god?
I think, and this gets back to the sensuality thing. I want to bring that into it. And Hyperion talks about this is in the podcast, is that in the course of their lovemaking, they switch places. And I find that is very much true for me. I find that I go back and forth in the course of being creative. I find that I'm going back and forth between being much more like God and what, and then all of a sudden I find I'm just very earthy and very, you know, down to very, how did you put it, hairy, you know, hands in the dirt, you know, feeling what I'm doing, you know, and then all of a sudden I'm just thinking about, you know, I'm bouncing back into my head again. It's like I'm bouncing back and forth from my head to my heart, my head to my heart, my head to my heart. That's how it is for me, I think.
Yeah, I think in my experience, I'm being coached in how to integrate these aspects of myself. And on one hand, I'm being encouraged to embrace and celebrate the more earthy and animalistic parts of myself. And also, rather than, you know, experiencing an inner conflict between that and my more intellectual side, bringing the two together in an empowering way.
Right. And actually, I probably should be true to it and say the heart is where we really want things to be, that we wind up. And we have this in our culture where if you're very sexual, it's dirty. That's discouraged. It's sinful. And being able to say it's good and connecting it with the intellect and the sensuality, bringing it to the heart, to the center, I think is what the light God helps me to do. Because then
that's funny,
that's
yeah,
when
that
I'm most creative.
Yeah,
that's,
for
that's
me,
when
it's
I'm
the
most
opposite.
Creative.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I'm sorry, Walter, you cut out. Can you repeat that, please?
No, for me, I agree with what Paul is saying. For me, it works it works the opposite way. For me, it is the dark God that brings me back down to earth and back into my body and back into, you know, the whole sense. I tend to sometimes lose myself in my thinking and my head, and it is the dark God that says, all right, calm down and come back down here. And but Paul hit it right on the nail when he said that it's in the heart where you really want to, you know, connect and balance the two. After all, you know, here in the middle world is where we're able to join the upper and the underworld. And that's creating balance. That's why I think Hyperion talks about how when the gods are making love to each other, they switch places. It's kind of like a yin-yang type of sensuality and action where one mingles with the other to become the other and trade places. And that's what happens here in the middle world. That's what happens in the heart. In the heart, it's where you mix where you join, especially when you're trying to, you know, create magic. You want to bring down the heavens and you want to raise up the power from the earth. But where are they going to meet? They're going to meet in the center. They're going to meet in your heart, and they're going to combine there. And from your heart is where magic comes from, the good magic, the one that the one that you want to foster and spread. And again, it's this combination of the two energies that we're mixing to make things happen, bringing both the light god and the dark god.
Yes. Yes, very much.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think too often our culture, and I see this in a lot of pagan circles too, they tend to get very upper world and ignore the earthy, touchy-feely stuff, and they're losing part of their potential, their magic, by staying very, very bright and ethereal, and it's not all about
or
that.
Even,
the best
right.
magic combines both.
Right. Even a lot of folks who are drawn to the dark side, oftentimes their approach is deeply, deeply intellectual. And mm-hmm. I think that's a function of our culture and the way we're raised and the things that are emphasized in us and encouraged from a young age, that even when we recognize, even those of us who recognize the importance of the earthiness and the darkness, it's so hard to get out of that intellectual practice, unless you spend time with an indigenous tribe and absorbing their practices. If you're just a Reconstructionist, it's easy to fall into the trap of developing rituals, developing practices that follow a Christian template in terms of approach and in terms of feel, rather than allowing ourselves to have a visceral experience of the divine.
Exactly. I think that's one of the things with the Unnamed Path, is it's much more balanced.
Yeah, and to me, and I'm guilty too. I'm obviously very intellectual, and I'm constantly being shown the value of importance of going into that visceral place. And God bless them. Someone in my life reminded me, what about ecstatic practice? And I'm like, yeah, that's important. That's important. That's a part of our tradition. And you know what? I need to inject a little bit more of that into my own practice to help keep me more balanced. So it's I can't in all sincerity point the finger, because this is my journey too, in trying to grow deeper roots and approach things from the root, so to speak.
Yes. Yeah, we're all having to unlearn a lot of the cultural baggage that we've been saddled with. And the light god helps me to do that, and in a very loving way. There's no condemnation, because he's not going to say, this is the right way, this is the wrong way. Here's your choices.
Right. And I think one thing that's very powerful is, here you have a deity of the light, a deity of the upper world, whose passion, whose lover, is the embodiment of the darkness itself. So those of us who are very intellectual, those of us who approach things from a intellectual upper world point of view, now we get to interact with a guiding deity who, instead of saying, stay up here, don't go down there, that's forbidden, is actually encouraging us and showing the way and say, listen, just because I live up here doesn't mean that this is all there is, because let me show you and share with you what I have a passion for and what I really love, which is that distinctive animal darkness that I think so many of us in our culture need for our personal healing.
Yes, very much so. I think that's part of the brokenness that you see in a lot of American or Western society. And I think especially American society is there's just a tremendous amount of brokenness about, and you see it acting out in ways that cause lots of harm. And
that's
I don't
true.
Want to get political here. But, you know, I want to stay apolitical here. But you see a lot of acting out of suppressed and submerged darker passions and desires and unresolved issues, and it's just, you know, it's hurtful for oneself. It becomes hurtful for others. And the Light God really helps me with that and helps me to help other people. And for me, I'm fortunate. I have a partner, and I think for us, we bounce back and forth between, you know, which one of us is being more intellectual and which one of us is being more earthy. I'm probably the more intellectual, and Chris is probably the more earthy, but we help to connect one another and create a better whole than either one of us could do by ourselves. Does that make sense?
Total sense. Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's interesting hearing you say that. And along those lines, and I'm not in a relationship, so I have no personal experience of this. Has your relationship with the deities and the unnamed path, and has the work and the progress that they've been helping you through, has that in any way been reflected in your relationship with your partner?
Yes. It's very much, I think both of us are more aware of when, and I'm especially more aware of when I'm being more intellectual, more like God, when I'm being more thinking about, okay, what's the path that I want to choose here, or if I'm being very much more, you know, go with my gut, go with my, and I think Chris and I both are more aware of those thoughts, and to understand that those are fine, and sometimes we'll even have moments where when we'll go say to one or to the other, you're being more like God, or you're being more dark God.
Mm-hmm.
Without getting into all the attendant sexuality stuff. I mean, yes, that comes into play as well, but outside of the bedroom, there's plenty of times when we're bouncing things back and forth, and we're flipping. You know, one of us is more one way, one of us is more the other way. He's much more keeps me grounded. I have a tendency to be more was I'm wanting to say. Out there, and so, you know, we definitely have an awareness of that in our relationship, and since becoming involved with the Unnamed Path, we're much more aware of it.
Is it easier for you to see where he's coming from and understand his perspectives now?
I would say in some respects, yes. I mean, it's always a learning process. So, yeah, sometimes I wind up going, okay, we're approaching this from completely two different understandings, and, okay, let's talk this out so that we understand what we're doing here. Because sometimes neither one of us is – one of us is in the feeling and the other one's in the thinking, and so we've got to stop and bring it together.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Well, it is now 4:06 p.m. And before we start tying things off, I wanted to ask you, Paul, if you had anything that you wanted to share with our listeners, anything coming up that you wanted to talk about or anything going on?
I don't know that I personally have anything coming up, so to speak. I'm super involved, and I think part of this is coming from my being a child of the Light God, is I've gotten into, quote-unquote, politics. I'm now a trustee in my township, and I think that for me that's part of being involved in trying to create good and create benefits for the larger community. And
how does your I'm curious. I mean, And I think I've said this to you before, I'm very proud of you, and I think you're an amazing leader. And I'm curious, how does Unnamed Path and your relationship with the deities thereof, how has that influenced your, or has it influenced your approach to politics and local leadership?
It has. It's made me understand that I'm connected to a greater whole and that I want to help better the society at large. And I think that's where I'm seeing things in a larger perspective than I think most people would. I don't necessarily come at it from a real microscopic perspective. I tend to think, how am I bettering things for my community at large? And I think that's where I have to work and to start. I think this is where the Light God helps to reel me in, is I don't have to worry as much about what's going on at the national level. I can make a difference here in my little pinprick of a area on the map.
Yeah.
And that little ripple will move out from there.
Right. Right. That's powerful. I think that's a message that all of us can go home with, because I think a lot of us tend to feel overwhelmed with the national scale or global scale of things that are going on. I know I do. And to be reminded that we can just focus on our little piece of the puzzle, and that that's a way of influencing the whole, I think is really, really helpful for all of us.
Exactly. Because otherwise you get overwhelmed.
Yeah. Yeah. Walter, before we close up, did you have any questions or perspectives that you wanted to share with us before we say goodbye?
I think you guys did a really good job of giving the overall view of who the light god is, what are some of the things that people can expect when they meet or they like to work with him, and the dynamics between him and the other gods in the unnamed path. I think that for your listeners who will probably want to find out more, they should listen to the podcast that detail, you know, the difference between the gods, listen to how to do a journey work to meet with the light god, and play with meeting him, use divination. I mean, that's one of the tools that we use to connect with the light god, prophecy, divination. I do a lot of tarot work. I do a lot of work with Oracle. Even when I get stuck, that's my go-to to get information, to get advice, to get, you know, the big picture. I love working with the light god in that respect. And, you know, just experiment, ask questions, go to the face group, the Facebook group, and ask questions from all the other members and the brothers, and just do the work. They're there, they're available, both the gods and the brothers, and it's an endless path. The journey with the unnamed path never ends, and you're always going to discover more. So it's not for the faint-hearted, and it's a worthy effort, I think.
Yeah, so true. Thank you. Well, I want to thank both of you for participating today. Paul, also thank you so much for the work that you're doing in your community. It's very important, and also, you know, thank you for, in your own way, representing our LGBTX community. You know, we've certainly come a long way. We have further to go. But I think we're on a good path. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And, guys, I love you. Hugs, kisses, and everyone, stay tuned. When Michael comes back, we're going to chat about the Dark Goddess. And we're going to close off with some music. This is Infinita by Negro y Blanco.
Una luminosidad distante e infinita que nos envuelve desnudos esta noche. Y abrazo tu cintura, tú me quitas el antifaz. Soy tuyo, soy así, ya me conoces. Y al cabo de un segundo te miro en el espejo. Mis brazos hoy visten tu reflejo. ¿Cómo decir? ¿Qué más decir si todo es lo que llevo escrito en mi pecho? Y espero que que no llegue el alba, pues no quiero verte partir. ¿Será que este día no acaba? ¿Será que te quedas en mí? Una luminosidad cercana e infinita, sincera como el viento sobre el bosque, y esclavo de esa luz, de tus manos y tu ansiedad, te beso y es la luna que se esconde, y al cabo de un segundo me miro en el espejo, tus brazos hoy visten mi reflejo. ¿Cómo decir, qué más decir si todo es lo que llevas escrito en tu pecho? Y espero que no llegue el alba, pues no quiero verte partir. ¿Será que este día no acabará? ¿Será que te quedas en mí? Y espero que no llegue el alba, pues no quiero verte partir. ¿Será que este día no acaba? ¿Será que te quedas en mí? ¿Será que te quedas? Ah.